say, teach us your ways, oh God. Teach us your heart. Let us feel your heartbeat. And let us be appreciative, God, that you've chosen us before the foundation of the world to carry this glorious gospel to every creature. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. We've been copying some of my old, what's left of some of my old missionary videos, and they're way old and not very good quality at all. But the other night, Rebecca was copying some of them for me, and I was working on a new book that I'm writing, and she said that, well, I just heard her all of a sudden going into travail. Anybody know what travail is?
Yeah.
And really, you know what travail is.
Yeah.
Travail is a deeper form of prayer. It goes even beyond tongues. You know, there are different forms of prayer, different forms of intercession. Intercession is more like I'm not talking about what it does in the spirit, but how it manifests. Intercession manifests many times in a kind of a fast tongue. And it's more like, it just goes 90 miles an hour. That's intercession. Travail is birthing. Travail is, if you've ever seen a woman in travail, or if you've been a woman in travail, you know what birthing is, and you know what groaning is, and you know what bringing life out of pain.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is.
Yes.
I remember one time I had a dream, and the Lord spoke to me in that dream, and he was telling me the great things that the Lord was going to use me for. But then, you know, the Lord always puts that little P.S. on the end. And he said, but it will be birthed out of great pain. And this is what he said, as are all great things of God born. Out of great pain. Now, I'm not referring to just pain that you put yourself through by wrong decisions, although that is one type of pain, amen? We make bad choices, we live with it for years, and you know, just it seems for years you just can't get away from that bad choice and that bad decision. But I'm talking about the pain and travail that comes from you feeling at one with the universe that is travailing in pain,
yeah,
because of the sin.
Amen.
And because of the pristine way that God created this earth to begin with. It was created in such beauty. It was so pristine and so perfect and so illuminated. And it in the Garden of Eden, there was nothing that was wrong. That was all perfect. Can you imagine? You know, you'll see a beautiful field sometimes. I don't know about you, but I think the grass looks so luscious. I want to go lay in it and just roll in it. It just looks like, you know, golf course green. And you get out there and you lay in it and you get chiggers and ants. And I remember one time I just really felt like I need to pray. And I saw this beautiful tree, and it was just so gorgeous. And I said, I want to go lay by that tree and just lean against the trunk and just pray. And I had a glorious time. And then I started itching. I had chiggers. Those things are hard to get away. I mean, I tried everything to get rid of those things. But this is a fallen creation.
Right.
One time, everything worked in unity.
Yes.
Ants weren't made to bite you. Lions weren't made to tear other animals apart. Come on. We weren't created that way. Everything was in unity. Did you know at one time, those carnivores used to eat grass and things like that? They weren't always devouring flesh. But men begin to devour flesh, and then animals begin to devour flesh. Can you say amen? Is this making any sense this morning? We're in a fallen world. Because of that, we make decisions that are failures many times and fallen. But there comes a time where the need in your heart to go back to that created order that was so perfect and dynamic just overwhelms you. There is a part of you and I, and stay with me on this. The Lord showed me this one time, and I have a vivid memory of my creation as a soul. And there was a time that our souls were created before they went into a body. This is what he revealed to me. He said, before I created the body, even David said, before I was even formed, you knew me. Amen?
Amen?
Before you were even formed, I knew you. And so we remember there's a recollection of that perfect unity that began before we were put into the body. There's a recollection of the presence of God and the knowledge of God before you were even put into a body where everything else got messed up. And so there's a yearning in us to go back to that perfect state of being. Amen? And so that's why so many people turn to false religion and yoga and Buddhism and Hinduism, is because there's something in them that yearns to be connected with the divinity that they once knew. Turabakataya. Well, this is so powerful today. And because you and I innately have that understanding, it's written in our being, in our DNA, is a spiritual knowledge and understanding of God. You won't find a group of people anywhere in the world that does not have a deity, even if they're glorifying themselves. See, we all have a need and a desire to magnify and glorify something that we esteem as being great. And so you and I now are all in the same boat, whether you're Chinese, Lebanese, or Hibbanese, whatever that is. We are groaning creatures who desire to be clothed upon with the glory that we once understood.
Hallelujah.
When Adam and Eve were created, they were created perfect. Everything was perfect because God said it is good. Amen?
Amen.
It is good. At that time, Adam understood and Eve was understanding that God created for us for a purpose. And that purpose, of course, was fellowship with God. And in order to have that fellowship, you had to have a unity with the purposes of God. You can't be, you cannot have a purpose other than the one that's ahead of you. Because what happens is you're out of alignment with the way God created things. And so things are going to go askew. There is a priority level in God. Amen? And not enough can be said about leadership. Even leadership that's not perfect. God created it that way. See, wives, we're to be under our husbands. And we're, if they're godly, if they're following after Christ, then there is a level of obedience and trust and decision making that we have to leave up to them. That's God's order. Amen? Now, when they get from underneath God's order and they're doing things they shouldn't, then you have to be led by the Spirit from there, right? But I'm talking about godly order now. Now, if Pastor Lynn goes and kills somebody, I'm not going to be under him. Amen? Because he's out from God's order. I'm not talking about that he didn't do Sunday school right, or he didn't, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about unity. And you would never be in a field of soldiers. I was watching On the Road last night. It's a missionary program. And they were interviewing people in the service in Afghanistan. You do what your man in command tells you to do, because if you don't do it that way, then everybody's a renegade. And nobody's working in unity. Because you're going to think we need to go left. You're going to think we need to go right. And I'm going to think we need to go straight ahead. I had a poster one time. I had a bunch of ducks. And they were just going all different directions. There were hundreds of them. And one of them poked his head out and said, "Lead, follow, or get out of the way." And we fall into those categories. What I'm trying to say to you today is I want you to understand you and why God has put a need in us for certain things. He has put a need in you, for example, to be accepted. Nobody wants to be rejected. I don't care who they are. If you're a Satanist, you want to be the top Satanist so you're accepted by those underneath you.
Come on.
Come on.
That's right. Come on.
It works the same in either kingdom. And so there's a divine order in God so that you and I can reach our full potential. We want to feel important. God put that in us to feel important. But the reason we are to feel important is not because we're important to someone else, even though we're necessary to someone else. For example, when you're raising children, you as a parent are necessary to that child. Amen? It's necessary. But it doesn't mean that that child is less important than me because I'm necessary. See, you are not less important than Lynn or Brett or me or Allie. You're not less important. You're just following the arrangement that God has prepared. Amen? Does that make sense? So you and I now, when we find God's due order, like Pastor Lynn's been preaching and teaching about the ark that was coming through the city and how David was bringing it in, but he didn't follow due order. See, we can do all the right things and still be out of order. You can be winning souls and be out of order. You can be doing good works and be out of order. And I can tell you, when you don't do it in due order, there is going to be a time that ministry is going to shake and it's going to die and it's going to fall. Because you're not following due order. God is a stickler. Let me tell you something. If you understood the spiritual realm, you would understand why God is such a stickler about obedience. Now, he doesn't always explain to you why he's doing what he's doing, to our dismay. Now listen, when you have a child and he's 3 years old and he wants to understand why he can't put his finger in the fan, you're not going to sit there and explain to him the dynamics of motion. You're going to simplify it and say what? No.
No.
Isn't that simple? See? And many times we're saying, "God, should I do this?" And he says, "No." And you want to know
why?
Well, you're not, and don't put this as a put down, because the Bible says his ways are far beyond our ways. You're not intelligent enough spiritually to understand why. Okay? But what he wants from you is obedience. Do you know it's harder to obey when you don't understand? It is. And especially when you've got an inquisitive mind. Yeah. I had a friend named Cindy, and I mean, she had the most inquisitive mind. She would drive me totally insane. She wanted to be involved in everything that was in her arena, and she wanted to know every detail about it all the time. And she would ask and answer 5 or 6 questions in one sentence. Why were you over there the other day? I didn't see you then. Oh, yeah, you were there because... And I go through... And I never get an answer out because she answers her own questions, you know? But, I mean, she'd make you dizzy. I loved her to death. By the time she got to the 6th question, you forgot what the first one was, you know? But she was inquisitive. Listen, God has put that in you, too. He wants you to be inquisitive, and he wants you to ask why. Now I got y'all confused, huh? Don't ask why. The point is, he wants you to grow to the mature level that he can explain it. And when you say, now God has trained his way. Have you ever read in the Bible, the disciples would ask Jesus a question and he'd answer with something, what has that got to do with it, Lord? You ever read the word and you wonder, what in the world are you talking about that for? God doesn't make any sense sometimes. But what he does is he's answering the end of it. You know, you're asking, why are you going to go away and we're not going to know where you are? What are you talking about? And he says, I go where you don't know. And you're like, what? See, and he'll answer the end of the thing and you got to pull in the blanks. Amen? See, you've got to fill in from the question to the end of the answer because there's so much more. It's in this process that you are learning to be like him. You're learning to think the way he thinks. See, you're not going to do it overnight. Now, he has put these things in our nature to mature us. And there's nothing wrong. There is a natural need in you to want to be accepted. There's a natural need in you to want to feel important, or women to be beautiful, or men to be intelligent. Well, I mean, they don't always succeed, but they want to. And I'm just kidding you guys. Not really, I'm serious. No. I mean, what intelligence is it, guys, that you can't ask questions when you're lost? Anyway, so it's like, you know, any minute now, a divine intervention is going to take place. I want to know which road to turn on. You know,
it always does.
After 2 hours or 3 hours, yeah. And we women, we know we're weak. We know we don't know, so we'll ask somebody. See, we're not too proud, but anyway. God has put within us these natural abilities and capabilities. The problem with us is, somebody say, the problem with us is we want to run ahead and fulfill these natural needs with natural things, when they were meant to be filled spiritually. You know, when I was young, I got a lot of woof whistles. You know what that is? I don't get those anymore. And, you know, sometimes your mind flips back because you forget you're not pretty anymore and you're old hag. And you go in a store and a guy woof whistles and you're like, wow. What are they doing that for? And then you realize it's not you, it's the lady behind you. You know? So you see, what happens is this. You and I have a natural desire to be admired. But see, when you get yourself locked into God, you begin to understand that these desires can only be fulfilled by the one it was designed for. And if you learn his purpose and plan and fulfill his purpose and plan, then you feel beautiful, accepted, smart, wanted, hallelujah. And then you find, sister, that everything you need is wrapped up in the way he sees you. And then you know what? It doesn't matter anymore that your neighbor doesn't think you're smart. It doesn't matter anymore that the lady sitting across the aisle from you at church doesn't think you're spiritual. Or maybe you're being led by the devil instead of God. I mean, you experience all this kind of stuff. And if you let these things affect you, it's going to throw your spirituality off. Listen, I've asked God a question. He's given me some answer down here I don't understand. But I'm going to pray until I begin to travel down that road, until I understand what he said to me to begin with, when he called me, when he chose me, when he decided that I was going to be his. Hallelujah. I don't know what he meant when he showed me these visions, these dreams, and me doing this and me doing that. I haven't seen it. I haven't felt it. But you know what? I have a need in me to feel important to God. I have a need in me to feel beautiful. I feel a need in me to be accepted. I have a need in me to do something that counts. I have a need in me to do something that even after I'm gone, it will continue on. See? You know, you may not remember, there was a seed imparted to you years ago by somebody who prayed or witnessed. And even if they fell away from God, whatever, that seed is still important. That seed is still living. It's still so important to God. Now, you may not know in your children or your children's children where it all began. I don't know where it all began when my dad was preaching the gospel, except that my grandmother was a prayer warrior. And beyond her, I don't know what happened to bring that seed and pass it along. I don't know that person. Maybe one day in heaven I'll meet that person. But the point is this, church, there is a seed that God is watching over to perform in you. And if you will submit and commit and seek diligently, it'll all come together and you'll understand your purpose. You can't understand your purpose if you're always trying to find your own purpose and not His purpose. Right. If you've never been in a civilized situation and someone hands you a toaster, it might take you some time to figure out its purpose. Right. Stick a knife in there, you'll figure out that ain't the purpose. Yeah. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
There's a purpose for it. And that's, as silly as it sounds, that's what we keep doing. We keep trying to find our purpose, boy, what fulfills us. The Lord has had all of us, I'm sure He's doing the same in you as He's doing in some of us. But He has put me in a dynamically different paradigm of thinking than I've ever had before. And yesterday, He spoke something to me. Don't you love it when the Holy Ghost is in His office? Yeah. Did you know He's always in His office? Yes. We're not always at home. But He is. He's at home when we're not. You know, when you're out there doing drugs and God's saying, you don't belong here. He's in His office. He's doing what the conscience was provided to do. And so, you're sitting there and you're trying to figure everything out. You can't do it outside His purpose. And so I was praying and I said, Lord, I have some dry prayer meetings by myself sometimes. I'll pray 2 hours and not feel even a twinge of the presence of God. Sometimes 3 hours, not a twinge. Sometimes this goes for days. And I said yesterday, I said, Lord, let me feel You because I just want to feel You. It's just one tear, just, you know, a breath, anything. Tell me I blew it, anything, you know, I don't care. You know, tell me I messed up really bad, I don't care. Just let me know You're there. Just let me know You're there. Yeah. Help me by spanking me. Amen.
Amen.
Do you want to hear what He said?
Yes.
He said, when did it become about you?
Yeah. Ooh.
Amen. He said, why aren't you asking me about the kind of prayer that I need?
Oh, God, come on.
He said, you're wanting to pray the kind of prayer that I need so that you can feel me. I want you to pray the kind of prayer that I need, whether you feel it or not. Oh. Oh, that just, oh. I said, you mean if I got to have dry cracker prayer for 6 months, if it pleases you, I've got to be pleased? Let me tell you a secret. God has a savings account for you. Some people are so spendy, they don't know the joy of saving. They want to cash in their vouchers every time, you know. Okay, God, I fasted. Come on, pay up. Is that right? Is that right? I witnessed 3 times last month. God, pay up, pay up. Is this hitting you this morning? Because, see, what I tell you is what he's telling me, all right? So we're in the same boat. God, I spent all last year. I took every bit of money I had, and I gave it to missions, and I did this, and I did that. Okay, paycheck. Paycheck. Yeah, in the mail. And this is what I was doing with my prayer life, and I didn't even understand it. See, he's infinite. He's so far above our understanding. You know what I said? Okay, God, if I have to pray 2 and 3 hours a day, which is what I've tried to do for the last 2 months, is pray at least 3 hours a day and read the Word at least 1 hour a day and study even beyond that. See, he wants 24 hours a day. But I'm saying I'm harnessing myself. I am putting myself in the harness, and I'm saying, Lord, put me in your prison. Put me in your prison. Because everybody else can be out having fun and watching movies and even knitting or, you know, having a lot of fun, and God will say, I want you to go pray. And I feel like I'm missing out, you see. But I've said, God, I'd rather be yoked to your will. Even when I don't feel the reward, even when the payday doesn't come, I'm going to be yoked to your will. Because I know God well enough to know he's saving it up for me. Hallelujah. And when the dam burst, see, things come apart when the dam burst. The crust starts to fall off. The old ways start to go away. And things begin to be new. And so if God's putting it in a savings account, then I'm going to thank him in the dry, and I'm going to praise him in the wet, and I'm going to keep going until it all comes together. I've got to walk in obedience outside of what I see, feel, or hear. And you know, the thing is, we not only don't feel that it's rewarded when we're not feeling his presence and we stop, but we don't think we're pleasing him because we're not feeling his presence. You hear that? Song of Solomon says, be like a deer. You know, he's like a deer. And what that is a deer so easily startled. Any little noise or motion or movement, he's right on it. I've told you this before. Every time your heart moves toward God, that deer nature in him takes account of it. You see that? You're thinking. The Bible said there's a book of remembrance made for those who even, what? Think on his name. Even when you think Jesus, an angel's going, oh, there it is. They thought on the name. Anytime you think, oh, Lord, I just want to please you today. I just want to get down and love you. Oh, he's writing it down. Anytime your heart is moved toward him, he's taken thought of it. And not only that, he's writing it down. So let me ask you again. If you pray 3 hours a day and don't feel your presence, are you rewarded? And remember, you're not doing it for the feel good. You're not doing it for the tears or the reward. You're doing it because you want to please him. Now, there are ingredients to prayer. And the Lord's been dealing with me. And my Song of Solomon book, I'm going to get some out here for sale for you guys because you need to know this stuff. There are ingredients that went into the incense in the altar. There are certain ingredients of the oil, particular ingredients, and each one is something that you need in your prayer life. And then the Lord's been beginning to show me this week, or no, a couple weeks ago, more ingredients. And he began to show me the woman who came in and knelt at his feet and began to cry and wash his feet with her hair. And Jesus turned to the man that he was eating dinner with, and he says, you didn't wash my feet when I came in here, which was customary. especially someone in those days with the dust and them traveling on foot. See, I need to explain this to you first. It was customary when someone came to your house, first of all, the servant would come out, not the Lord. The servant would come out. He would wash your feet. He would give you a change of garment because you've been walking in a dusty road. He wanted you to be nice and clean. And then when the master come out, he would kiss you. See the sequence? Washing your feet, changing your garments, kissing you, and then you go into the feast, okay? And Jesus said, when I came in here, you didn't wash my feet. He said, you didn't kiss me. You didn't pour oil on my head. You didn't pour oil on me. This woman's taken up for your slack.
That's right.
You've been unprofitable. Hallelujah. You've not acknowledged who I am.
Right.
You haven't even taught, you have not even trained, been training your own heart how to treat a stranger,
right,
much less a friend. When he comes into your presence, when he's here, when you're trying to do worship to him and you're treating him like it's every day and he's nobody at all, it's just Jesus again. Someone else is going to get your reward. God's going to send an extravagant worshiper to take your place. Because he will be lifted up. He will be praised. He will be glorified. They told the disciples, told Jesus, tell your disciples to be quiet. He said, if they don't, he said, the stones and the rocks are going to cry out. You know why? Because he will be praised.
Yes.
Back to the woman again. The Lord said, do you notice the three things that she did? He said, she had tears or water, which is both for cleansing. She had tears that she poured out on his feet. Listen, you can't wash away the dirt and the degradation of sin in your life unless you have some cleansing going on. You have to, there's certain things that are necessary for cleansing. My mom used to do spit baths on us. You younger people don't understand that. I'd be sitting in church next to my mom, and she'd go, and start scrubbing on my, and I'd go, and it was horrible. You felt dirtier afterwards. We learned to come in clean. Amen. It's my face washer. Mom's going to give me a spit bath, you know. Because you didn't want to be embarrassed that your kid came to church dirty. And you know how kids are. You'll dress them all up, get their hair fixed, get them all clean, get all the kids ready. Everybody ready? And little Susie Q sliding down the hill. Is that right? No, and Joe is up at the table eating his last bit of a ham sandwich with some ketchup. I mean, that's the way it is with kids. About the time God gets us cleaned up just a little bit, we go back and mess it all up again. So in us all the time is the need to get messed up. And that's the one we got to crucify. Amen? And he said, I came and you offered me no water. There was no cleansing. There was no purification. There was no washing. You didn't care that I've been walking these roads ministering to people and the dirt and the dust and was horrific. I used to ride along in the back of the trucks in Honduras when we do missionary work, and I'd get there and my legs would be caked with stuff that thick from the dusty roads. But it was so much fun, I kept doing it. I was younger then. But anyway, he said, you've offered me no water. Do you want to minister to him? Is he the one that you're devoted to? Or are you devoted to feeling him and his blessings on you? Are you more devoted to that little that you get when you're in prayer? And if you don't get that then you're out of here.
Right. That's good stuff. Come on.
See, that's what stops us, isn't it? Is that right? I mean, when he comes down and you're weeping and crying and, oh, you're feeling the goosebumps and you're in travail and all this is going on, that's him blessing you, not you blessing him. Can you understand that? That's him blessing you. But when you are sacrificing a praise, do you know what that is? It's no sacrifice. No matter what condition you're in, it's no sacrifice when he's blessing you at the time. When he's blessing you with his presence and his spirit, that's not a sacrifice. I can be in a hospital bed with everything in my body broken, and he can come in and feel his presence, and you don't care. He's such a great anesthesiologist. You don't feel the pain. You don't care because he's there. Now, when he lifts, then you're caring again. Amen? But the beautiful thing is, that feels great, and you could pray all day when that's there. But what about when that's not there, which is most of the time? That's when you and I are washing his feet. We're ministering to him. Mary didn't sit down and say, oh, Lord, or the woman that was washing his feet, she didn't sit down and say, oh, Lord, will you minister to me? My feet are so dirty. Her thoughts wasn't on, what can he do for me, were they? Did she go in there thinking, oh, I just want that feel good. If I just get close to him, if I do these things, then he'll let me feel good. She didn't think about that. To her, it was about ministering to him. So she said, I've got to do something. And I pictured her at home just all of a sudden. Have you ever had the Holy Ghost just overwhelm you like, he's so good to me? And I believe she began to recount, you know, all the things he had done. And so she said, I got to find him, which wasn't hard to find. Find the crowd, you find Jesus, you know. She found him. She burst in. Woman wasn't supposed to be in a men's meeting. Not in those days. You don't bust into a man's meeting in those days. She burst in there because she couldn't help herself. It didn't matter. She didn't care what the Pharisees thought, the Sadducees thought. She didn't care what they thought. She had water for cleansing. She had water for cleansing. Glory to God. She was ready to pour it out on him. And she rushed in that room and she began to pour it out. We've got to be cleansed. We've got to allow this stuff to be poured out so that he, so we can cleanse. See, we make him dirty. The Bible said when we sin, we crucify him all over again. We crucify Christ of flesh. So when we're dirty, we're throwing dirt on him because he's the intercessor. He's between us and God. So when we're getting dirty, we're throwing dirt on him. We need to cleanse him through cleansing ourselves. Because you're dirty in his name. Do you understand? Yes. When you're living in sin, you're making him look dirty to the world. And you cleanse him by cleansing yourself. Glory to God. Glory to God. And Jesus said, you didn't cleanse me. You didn't purify. He said, you didn't pour oil on my head. You didn't pour oil on me, making me a welcome guest. But she's took this precious ointment, and she's poured it on me. She broke it, and she poured it on me. Listen, that's the oil of sacrifice. If it's not a sacrifice for you to reach the heart of Christ, then it's not an acceptable sacrifice. David said, if it doesn't cost me anything, I'm not going to buy it. See? It has to cost you something. And so she had an acceptable sacrifice. If praying for 3 hours a day without feeling his presence at all, and I'm doing it with all my heart, is an acceptable sacrifice, that's what I'm going to do. Listen, I know he's going to pour out his presence on me at some point. But after yesterday, I'm never going to complain again. That was too direct a word. He said, I thought you were praying to bless me. He said, but I see you're praying to bless you. Because, see, it does feel good when you're praying and you feel his presence. But he said, you've got to persevere and pour out that oil. Pour out that sacrifice. You do it because it's the right thing to do. You do it because it pleases me. It honors me. It brings glory to my name. Burst open that thing. Pour it on Jesus. Be liberal. Don't hold back. Whether you feel it or not, dance in the spirit in your room. Whether you feel it or not, praise his holy name. Whether you feel it or not, glorify the name of the Lord God that created you. Whether you see it or not, run for Jesus and witness about his name. True Jesus. Pour out that acceptable sacrifice. These are ingredients that are necessary. And then he said, you didn't kiss me. When I came in here, you didn't kiss me. You didn't tell me that you're affectionately involved with me. You're serving me in a non-committal way. Non-committal. I'll be your friend from this distance. When you kiss somebody, it's up close and personal. It's my sister. I do that. I'm touching her. I can smell her hair. I can feel her skin. I can feel her breath. And she, the same for me. Now it's intimate. It's personal.
It means something.
And it means something. Don't think that you can do any of these ingredients without all of them. You can be cleansed and not sacrificial. You can be sacrificial and even get up close and try to kiss him. Who wants somebody dirty kissing him? You get these dirty babies, snotty nose running all over them, and you know, and they come up and they want to kiss you, and you're like, but they're so cute. Time for a spit bath. See, you've got to have all these ingredients. We are part of the creation of God. Just like the trees and the oceans, only we have a soul that communicates with God on a whole different level of intimacy that the creation cannot.
Right.
So we have more to offer. Enough that he... See, the trees didn't rebel. Right. The oceans didn't rebel. The universe did not rebel against God. The fleas and the ticks did not rebel. The worms did not rebel. The snakes did not rebel. Well, Satan did. We rebelled. God chose the price to return us to that from that fallen state, and then he paid it himself. Listen, if you go, how many of you guys go garage shopping? Oh, you guys aren't being honest in here. How would you like, instead of them having a price tag on that, and let's say you know everything there is to know about microphones. You know that to you, this microphone is worth $100. You know how valuable it is, but they got a $30 tag on there. And you go, no, no, I ain't paying $30. That's worth $100. You ain't tricking me. You ain't getting one over on me. Uh-uh. That's a $100 microphone. No, no, but, no buts. That's, man, you, what do you take me for? That's what God did. He decided the price, and then he paid it himself. This is the price you were valued at. Do you know what we valued Jesus at? It says in the Old Testament, the price they valued me at, 30 pieces of silver, that was the price they valued. We didn't value the King of Glory. We're still not valuing him. We're still not giving an acceptable sacrifice. Are we going to stand before him and he'll say, you know what? You didn't pour out the tears and the cleansing. You didn't make a sacrificial praise and worship to me. You didn't kiss me and get intimate with me. You didn't value, you valued me at what price you thought you wanted to pay.
Right.
I told you the price. You can know what you want to know, someone said recently. You can know what you want to know. But God, I didn't know you required this. You can know what you want to know. That's why he gave you an ability to go to the Father. He gave you an ability to go into his presence that you might find what you need in the hour of need so that you have access. He made all that provision. He saw the price. He priced it himself. He paid it himself. He rent the curtain open. He sits there on the throne waiting. And what do? We sit back and we don't enter in and we don't press forward and we don't go in and then we expect something, God, to come off his throne, walk through the veil, walk over to our pig pen, pick us up, grab us, carry us, clean us off while we're going, and then take us to the throne so that we can be filling his glory and filling his presence. Church, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Right. We're to have the ingredients that brings us into his presence. We're always wanting him to come down. He already did that 2,000 years ago. He already came down. Why does he have to keep coming down? Because we keep wallowing in our self-pity, wallowing in our self, we think we're worthless, or the devil tells us we're worthless. Do you know that's selfishness? I'll throw this one in for free. Do you know suicide is selfishness? You don't care about anybody but yourself. Bless God, nobody knows who I am. Nobody cares about, you know, they don't see the value. I'll just kill myself. Well, who made you God?
Right.
Who made you God? Killing. Who gave you the ability to choose what you're worth and what the price you're going to pay? Huh? Who did that? You did. Why? Because you look up to you. When you feel bad about yourself, oh, I'm just not, nobody cares. That's selfish.
It is.
Oh, I don't know why they don't want it. That's selfish. Talking to me, amen? Somebody say, she's talking to me too?
She's talking to me too.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't get that. I don't know why. That's selfishness. That's self-centeredness, and that's what sin is. Sin is always selfish. Sin is always self-centeredness. Sin is always about me.
Yes, come on.
Sometimes even when I'm being sacrificial, it's about me. I cleaned the dishes 3 times this week. Nobody even noticed. They left a mess in the kitchen, and I kept cleaning it. Nobody even saw it. Nobody cared. Nobody noticed. I'm not going to clean the kitchen. You see what I'm saying? Because it's about me. See, you start out thinking this way. You start thinking, oh, well, you know, they've had a hard day. I'm going to wash the dishes, but you're keeping tally. Right? Next day you go, okay, well, maybe they could have done it today, but I'll let it slide, you know. About the 3rd day, you're like, somebody else needs to be in here doing these dishes. You know why? Because we're keeping tally. I did this and this and this. It's selfish. You give, forget about it. You give, forget about it. You give, forget about it, and you leave it there. Hallelujah. You and I don't know what it's like to sacrifice or give freely or forgive freely. Hallelujah. No, you just want to keep bringing it up. Oh, yes, you did this 20 years ago, and I ain't never going to forget it. You know why? We're selfish. It's all about us. You ought to be appreciative I pay my tithes on time. You ought to be appreciative. You ought to run down to potluck and make my plate for me. Because I gave God what's his. You need to... Are we seeing ourselves a little bit in here today? You know, I know because I've gone through all these things myself. Well, you don't know how important I am to this church. You don't know how much, what would the church be? I'll just not show up on service and see how it goes. I'll just not show up. And you know what? I bet you I'm going to hear how bad the service went because I wasn't there. Well, the music just didn't flow good because I wasn't on the organ. They don't know it, but they need me. Boy, did I sing good. Boy, the anointing was all over me. Like we did something to do that, see? God said, in their pride and their rebellion against me, they're singing and using their talent because it makes them feel good, and I'm just going to use them because I want to bless somebody. But they think it's them and it's me.
Amen. Come on.
They think it's them and it's me. That's how Satan fell, and I'm going to end with this thought this morning. Satan had gemstones all over, and he had pipes built into his very being. He was worshiping. He was the head of the worship. He was in the most sacred of places. More than all the heavenly host, he was created for praise and worship. He was created to give glory to God. He was built for that very purpose. And in that exalted state, standing close to God, closer than any other angelic being, he fell into sin. Do you know you can be as close to God as any man or woman on the face of the earth and still fall? You can be in the most exalted state and still fall. You can be in the presence of God and know everything that God knows and see everything that God sees and still fall. Satan felt God, knew God, acknowledged God, was in his presence, was closer than any other angel, and began to emanate the very glory that God was emanating. And in his stones, you take stones, what they do, they reflect the light of the sun or the light in the room, and they begin to illuminate, and light goes everywhere. And you're thinking how powerful this stone is, but you put that stone in the dark, there's no illumination, there's nothing bright about it, there's nothing that brings glory, there's nothing about it. It has to have the light to reflect to be anything. Yes. Satan looked at himself, and he was emanating the glory of God. He was emanating the presence of God. He was emanating everything, every attribute that God was. He was to lead them into that. But after a while, you begin to think it's you.
Oh, come on.
I preach so good because I'm so smart. Because I'm special. Because God has set me apart. Because God has chosen me. The more God exalts you, the more danger there is in that, church. And that's why David, he was king of Israel, and he said, Lord, show me if there be any wicked way in me. He could have gone on being king without being exalted in that fashion, but he wanted to be right with God more than he wanted to be king. He wanted to be right more than he wanted to be an evangelist, a pastor, a prophet, a preacher, a teacher. He wanted to be an emulation of the one he loved more than he wanted the position that was given to him by the one he loved. I hope this is getting home today. Because when Satan began to look at himself and the glory and the power and the anointing and the ability to project and the ability to bring out the word, when we begin to see we've won 1 million people to Christ, or we've done all these great things, there we go back to me again. Me, me, me. Oh, listen, church, if God stood there and he gave you $1 billion and you're able to turn it right over and give it to somebody else, then you kind of learned what it's all about without touching the gold, without touching the glory. I want to be a conduit that the presence of God can flow through and do what it wants to do. I don't want it clogged up with me. I don't want it clogged up with my emotions and feelings. I want to be a free conduit so that he can continue to pour. You know why the blessings stop? You know why the anointing stops? Because we get clogged with us, and then God can't continue to pour. You ever had a kink in your hose? Mow the grass and there's a kink in the hose and you can't get the job done. That's what God does. He stops the flow Church, he stops the flow because there's a kink in the hose. There's a kink in the hose, and it can't flow through you freely. And he has to withdraw it until the cause of that kink is removed so that he can flow once again. The man that got the gemstones, has anybody told you that he sold his house, his car, and everything that he owned? He's an older man. He sold it all to send to Africa to some missionaries and to some orphanages, and he was left with nothing because he gave it all away. And then God said, I'm not only the God that takes, but I'm the God that gives. And supernaturally, God began to rain down stones worth probably thousands and thousands of dollars because he gave, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall he give. You know what? When you're a free conduit for the Holy Spirit, it will not stop. It will continue to flow. It will continue to do something that God created it for. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Don't examine me. Don't examine Patty. Don't examine Joy. Examine you. You're the ones who want the blessing. Quit worrying about why someone else's hose is kinked. Amen? Quit worrying about why so-and-so's hose is kinked. Do you really care that they're hurting Jesus when you're hurting him more? Do you really, does that really concern you more than the hurt that you're doing? You can't do something about why they're hurting Jesus, but you can do something about why you are. You need the water. You need the oil. You need the kiss. You need to be extravagant with God. He's been extravagant with us. You need to worship and praise and read and witness and do all those things without wanting something back, but to give to his glory. And when it becomes about him and not about you, then God can pour through you. But you know what? You never get attached to what he's flowing through you, although you're getting it too. You're getting the same thing that he's sending out through you. You're getting the water and the oil and the kisses right back. But at the same time, you don't hold on to it because it's not about you. It's about his glory, his praise, his honor, his position. Do you desire today to glorify the King? Is it about bringing everything that you have and putting it at his feet and saying it's yours? It's yours. I don't care if you give me anything back. Just don't let me lose you. Hallelujah. Just don't let me lose you, Jesus. Yeah. Father, I ask you to turn on your searchlight. One of those real bright ones, Lord, that they use from football stadiums. Because our souls are dark in corners. Areas of our souls are dark. So I'm asking you, Lord, to put on those really, really bright lights. And I want you to search me. Search me. Know me. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Oh, God, you turn on those searchlights. Lord, right now, it's not about who else is missing. God, it's about me. What is it in me, God? What is it in me? As we sing this song, search me, know me, try me and see. I want you to let the Holy Spirit, because he's not going to open it all up to you today. We're so dark, we'd fall back in dismay if he showed you all the darkness inside of your heart. I'm talking about my heart too. But today he wants to show you what he's dealing with you now on. And without moving or do anything, or even coming to the altar, because sometimes we substitute that for the work of the heart. Sometimes we'll lay down here and think, well, we've done it, when your heart is unchanged and you leave. I want Brett to sing this song, and I want you to let him search.
Search me. Try me and see every worthless affection Come.